Okay, so the question was asked, David HaMelech, we have an interesting story about how his mother conceived, where Yishai and she agreed to separate, and then she changed her mind, and at night she switched with the maid who he was supposed to marry, and then Yishai conceived David, and he didn't know until Shmuel came along. He really didn't know what the story was, like what had happened, how his wife got pregnant, even though she told him this is what happened. Somewhere deep down inside, he wasn't too sure what happened. So the question was asked, how did Yishai not know it was his own wife? You know, he's intimate with this woman, so it's true. In Judaism, the room has to be completely dark when people are intimate, but how did he not know? Let's make the question a little bit more difficult, okay? We'll add a few components to the question. Number one, the Talmud asks, how does a blind man be intimate with his wife? How does he know it's her? So the Talmud says that we say that there is an identifying marker to voices that people can tell who they're talking to. And so the commentaries actually ask this question. This is where the Chida brings this medrash. The Chida asks two questions, one of which is this. How did Yishai not know it was his wife? We say you could tell a person's voice. There's another question which the Chida asks, which I'll just mention parenthetically. In the Talmud and Tractate Nedarim, it lists 9 qualities that are improper while being intimate with a woman. It says it's improper if one of the people are drunk. It's improper in the sense that they shouldn't be intimate. It's wrong. It's improper if they've just had a fight. It's improper if they've decided to get divorced for them to continue being intimate. It's improper to be thinking about another woman, even if she's your own wife. You have to be focused on the woman you're with. So the commentaries ask, wait a second. Yaakov thought he was with Rachel, and turns out he's with Leah. And David's father, Yishai, thought he was with the maid, and turns out he was with his own wife. So if this is considered something that's disqualifying, that makes the intimacy inappropriate, and the products are suffer, the in some way the connection is wrong between the couple. So what's going on here? That's where the question's asked. In Aruch Chaim, where Reish Mem Beis, where the Shulchan Aruch writes this halacha, so that's where the Chida asks this question, among others. Okay? Back to our story. So if we glean from the wisdom that's brought over there in the halachot, it also says that there were very pious people whose intimacy was done differently than the common folk. Meaning, a regular person takes time and he jokes around with his spouse, and even holy people, the Talmud says, Rav would never say a sentence that wasn't holy. He never said anything that wasn't Torah. The great Rabbi Rav, the disciple of Rebbe, but a student once snuck under the bed and listened to him with his wife, and he heard him joking around with his wife like a youngster. And he was so shocked that at one point he said, Rebbe, what's going on here? And Rav said, this isn't respectful. you don't belong here. This is wrong. But the student, you see, right, it's Torah. The student was coming with an approach. I have to learn from this. Okay, we have to pause for a second. Sorry. So now we're back. We're continuing. We said, there are very pious people. And even among the very pious people, there are those who will take the time, and it's what's right for them and their wives is like Rav, who took time and joked around with his wife to the point where his disciple was shocked. But then there are people, like the Talmud says about Rabbi Eliezer, who was married to Ima Shalom, and they asked her, what's he like with you? And she said,
wait, who asked her that?
The students asked. They wanted to learn about the rabbi, so they didn't sneak under the bed. But they did ask her, can you tell us about the piety and how he was? And she said he was extremely modest. I guess it was after he passed away. Extremely modest. And he uncovered nothing that was unnecessary, the minimum that was necessary. And he was quick, like as though he was rushing somewhere. He did everything in a way that He was very focused on doing the mitzvah, and that was it. Not to attain any pleasure from it at all. So for the average person reading that, it's like, wait a second, isn't this a part of marriage? Isn't this a part of expressing affection, etc.? For people on that level, it's right. There are people on that level. You see that she valued it. She didn't look at it as he's being self-centered, he's not thinking of me, he's not giving me my time. She valued it. She said, I'm married to someone very holy, and this is part of my being his partner, and she looked at that as something amazing. Most people are not that way. You see, even Rav, who was one of the greatest Amoraim, when he was with his wife, he took the time. But I'm saying there are holy people, husband and wife, which what's right for them is different than the rest of the world. So it's not far-fetched to say that Yishai was described as having reached the age of 400 years old, right? That's one thing it says in the Midrash. So he's 330 years old. Okay, so let's say not that young, because he died when David was about 30. So he's 370 years old with his wife. Okay, if we're already going with the Midrash, so you have to figure he's 370 years old. I don't know how old his wife is, but he's a very pious old man. He's not just, a rabbi in his 40s or 50s or 60s, he's 330 years old. It says, when Yishai would walk out of the house, there would always be a group of students waiting to hear his teachings. Wherever he went, there was a crowd, because people wanted to learn from him. So it's not so far-fetched to say that when Yishai was with his wife, he was at a point, and she was at a point, where they did not have idle chatter. They were trying to focus on the mitzvah. You know, you put on tefillin, you focus on the fact that you're doing the will of Hashem. So there are holy people that, when they're with their wives, they're also thinking about the will of Hashem. The nature of man is that whatever he does, he thinks about himself. Then there are people that, when they eat a slice of pizza, they think about the will of Hashem in that slice of pizza. They might eat the slice of pizza if they think that's the will of Hashem. That's part of doing the will of Hashem in this world. Then you have people who even in intimacy, they're on such a high level that their focus is something else. And then, even though ordinarily you have like Rav, where a husband takes the time and speaks to his wife and jokes with her, etc., you will have exceptional people, and Rav was exceptional. I'm saying even among exceptional people, there are exceptional people. Like Rabbi Eliezer, you have where there isn't this great conversation going on beforehand, and it's not necessary, and it's not lacking. I'm saying for most people that would be wrong to do. They it wouldn't be good for them. But there are people like that. And that's why it could be that that's what was going on by Yishai. And what you have to say, if you're going to say that, is that this handmaid was on a pretty high level too. Because he thought he was being with the handmaid, right? He didn't think he was being with his wife. The flip side of that is that if that's where Yishai was, it makes sense that that's who he'd marry. You know, if Yishai was such a holy person, then he wasn't just marrying, you know, the average girl on the block. So that's as far as that. There are other questions. We did not yet address the halachic issue that you're not supposed to be intimate with your wife and think about someone else. And here Yishai was intimate with a woman thinking he was with a different woman. Exactly. That's a different problem. That's a problem which has different answers, but I said I don't want to go there tonight. That's I'm just saying, so that gives us a certain angle to understand what's going on with Yishai. Even though normal relationships will have talking and will have a lot of time that builds up to the actual act of intimacy, there are people that are on a different level. I there's a story they say, which from our perspective, it's humorous. The person who said it, it's reported that he said it in truth, and it wasn't humorous. There was a couple where the husband was a super genius, and the wife was a regular wife, and they were short on money, and life was very tough. And one day she comes into him and says, I'm crying and praying, and I'm so troubled for weeks now, and I don't see you being as troubled as me about our state. And he said to her, you know they call me a genius. She says, yeah. So he says, what does it mean to be a genius? She says, okay, you define it. He says, to be a genius means that if it takes other people a long time to grasp something, I grasp it much quicker than they can. They can spend a lot of time till they reach my level of understanding, because that's what being a genius is. You grasp things much more quickly than other people. So he says to her, 8 weeks ago I grasped what was going on, and I gave a weep then. So I already encompassed everything you've been crying for 8 weeks. It's not that I don't get what's going on. So that's the story they tell. But there's truth to that. Meaning there is truth to that, and you will see in life, you'll see there are couples where the husband has to spend a lot of time doting over his wife, and even then he's not sure if he made her feel valued. And then there are couples where he knows how to do it so well that in a minute conversation, you'll see there are people who in 1 minute can make their wives feel like they're $1 million, and they can give their wives the greatest feeling in the world, and they really feel great. And it's not that they've reached a different place, they're just better at it. They can get to the same place in a shorter amount of time. And you'll see that. I've seen it in my life. People, the way they answer their phone, the way they talk to her, the way they look in her eyes, they give her that feeling, and where someone else will invest an hour, and then I'm not sure he'll get there in an hour, then you have other people who can invest a minute, and they've accomplished much more than that. So to say that Yishai, if Yishai had built the relationship to the point where it was not necessary to have that type of conversation, that's extraordinary. That's exceptional. It's not the way the average marriage works. The average person needs to invest a lot of time before they're intimate with their spouse. And they have to bring their spouse to a point where they're happy with it and they're comfortable with it, etc. That doesn't happen usually like that. That's not the way it works. But it could be that Yishai was very, very good at making a person feel very, very valued. And so for Yishai, that was not necessary. Because otherwise, any conversation should have given it away. You know, he should have noticed, unless you tell me at age 330 he was hard of hearing.
How many times was he married?
I don't know. I don't know how many times Yishai was married.
Because they mentioned that David was talking to one of his brothers, and the name of the brother wasn't in the original list of brothers that we had already been introduced
right
to earlier in the narrative.
We have to look in Divrei Hayom. I don't remember. I'm embarrassed to say I just reviewed it a few weeks ago, and I still don't remember. It's in Divrei Hayom. I'm saying Chronicles it lists, but I don't remember. Okay. On this point, or no question?
I actually have a couple of questions, but one of them is actually on the same story.